Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
potted wisdom on magnetic fields and magnets. I've only got a few minutes as I drive from the gym back home. And essentially, what you'd be told is that like charges repel and like magnets repel, that north repels north. And this is based, and south repels south, and unlike attracts in both fields, electric fields, and also magnets. Now, this really holds true. It's correct machinery for charges, but it's not the correct machinery or the optimum machinery for anything else like magnets. So magnets are essentially dipoles. There's no such thing as a monopole. There is a dipole. And it is that a magnetic dipole field will create a torque on another dipole, and which is a torque on another dipole will be a compass. And so the north of the compass, your compass will point to the south magnetic pole. It's a pretty hard thing to get your mind about. So we've defined the north needle of a compass will point north, and that is the south pole of the Earth. It is a dipole. So the first thing that a dipole field does is it applies a torque field. And so the amount of torque will be dependent on the size and strength of your field, the direction of torque. So your magnetic field contains two components, a direction and a strength. Unlike a charge field, it's only got a strength and obviously a direction, which is only pointing towards the towards the positive or negative charge. They can only point to the net charge. And an electric field is a potential field. That is, it's a field, it's a number, and with that number you can do certain things. Okay, just watching as I'm going around the corner here, trying not to get killed. I don't think I will. Whoa! Just going to stay off to the side here, make sure. Yeah, sure, I don't get run over. So you would have heard probably a little beep there. Someone was, you know, just a warning. Make sure you're in that side lane. Okay, so a magnet doesn't exert an electric field. It exerts a magnetic field. And the magnetic field is a dipole field. And it does, dipoles in that field do two things. One is that they align, they have a torque on them, and they also have a strength which measures a strength of attraction strength. Okay, there's a twist in a magnet field, twists, and it also attracts things, it attracts dipoles, and the dipoles seek out a oriented to the field, seek out the field gradient. And in this sense, your magnetic field lines are closed loops, and they integrate fully around. So they start, and if you walk along a magnetic field line, you will eventually wind up walking back to the same place. It's a bit like being lost in the wood and seeing your tracks again. So you can't actually make any energy or dissipate any energy by putting a magnet along a magnetic field line. You do dissipate energy, or it is true, you do dissipate energy, and so it will, a magnet will actually go in a magnetic field line to such a point that it reduces the net dipole. So there's a magnetic field, and you can calculate it has an energy by the amount of dipole field out there. So a dipole seeking the highest gradient, it means that it is the most favorable for actually reducing the total energy of the system, and that's your fundamental formula for force. It's your change in energy per unit distance. So your dipole fields are, as your magnets are coming down, your net dipole field is reducing, which is a pretty amazing thing to do. So the net energy of the field is dropping, and that is where you extract the work of one magnet going towards the other. But if you have, say, a hollow solenoid, and you will find that the magnet will come to rest in the center of the solenoid. So this is a interesting tidbit. This series of teaching charge and then teaching magnetism is a recipe for actually teaching incorrect concepts to both people. Now it's really interesting that it's of how did you come? Well, I sort of didn't really get too much of a major picture of magnetic fields, and then I did Maxwell's equations, H and B, the difference between those two things, and phenomenologically they're not different. B is what you calculate from charge, and H is what you actually measure with a magnetometer. So they're the two separate things. So what you will find is that there'll be a difference between B and H and the magnetization. The M vector in there. So you have a little charge or sort of electrons which have units of dipole units in them. So it's a pretty amazing thing. Now the electron doesn't have a spatial extent. In terms of calculating, it's just got a fundamental amount of magnetic field. It's sort of like a quantized unit of magnetic field. It's got a quanta of magnetic field. It's a pretty interesting thing to see. Okay, well, I'll be back with you soon and continue doing podcasts and working ahead.
Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.